Guys.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a very special bonus of episode of the Fig Guys. I'm the OG Fig Kid, Thomas Montalto. Joining me, as usual, my hot tag partner.
What's going on, everybody? It's me. It's good old Mike B. And guys, we got a special treat for you because the most professional wrestler, the Scottie Pippen of wrestling figure collecting, has joined us here on Fig Guys, Brian Myers, ladies and gentlemen. Brian, thanks for joining us, buddy.
What's up, boys? The intro got me all boned up to talk about toys. What's going on?
Yeah.
Listen, we're always excited to talk about toys, especially our little rubber guys in underwear.
Yeah. Rubber guys.
Okay, well, that's my favorite line in wrestling today. But wow. I was a bit LJN kid. So.
Yeah.
So let's start off. I'm going to start off with the same question we asked Matt when he was on. So I feel like the wrestling figure boom, it's been going well for many years now, but I feel without the major wrestling figure podcast, it's not where it is. How do you feel about that?
I guess I don't have a problem acknowledging that. It wasn't, you know, on purpose. You know, we just kind of were looking to do something fun. We did not know what would come of all this, you know. And it kind of feels like a lot of it kind of has gone hand in hand, right? You know, a lot of the boom and a lot of these companies and all the innovations and things, I think it, you know, it was like, building up this community or making this community have a voice is really what the difference was, right? Because community was always there. We just didn't really have spokespeople or avenues to get the word out, you know? And I feel like, you know, we inadvertently did that. And that was never the idea. You know, we just wanted to talk about toys because, like I said, that's what we were always doing in the cars anyway, you know, and it was cool to finally be open and honest about it, and all these like wonderful things came from it, you know, and we're years from, you know, that initial decision now, so it's been quite the journey.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, coming from, you know, your tenure in WWE doing your thing, I mean, you guys come out, you start the podcast, COVID happens, all this crazy stuff's going on, collectors are going rampant. I mean, it couldn't have been a more perfect storm, obviously. I mean, it's for me, I mean, I've been collecting my entire life. I know Tom has, and I know a lot of our listeners have. And we thank you guys so much for being those people. Cause without you guys, I mean, me and Tom wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have a toy display in my living room, for God's sakes. Right. That's for damn sure.
And then, you know, and the appreciation is mutual. You know, we thank you guys for coming along. Cause then if it wasn't with all you guys, you know, being along for the ride, it would just be me and Matt, and I don't know if much would have got accomplished.
Well, thanks to you guys, I've made so many friends in the group, but just talking to other collectors, like a lot of us probably had nobody else to talk to about it before you guys.
Oh, so like you were in the same exact situation, except we were WWE superstars. So it's like
probably even
it was
harder.
Even worse. Yeah. You know, it was much worse. We didn't want fucking Bob Holly to know we collected action figures. It was like a nightmare. So it was like a deep, dark secret. You know, it was get out of the collector closet, if you will.
Absolutely.
I feel like even backstage, it's more accepted and cool now, right?
Anyone even like, you know, bats an eye at it anymore, which is incredible. You know, people go out of their way to, even if they don't collect wrestling figures per se, they'll see Matt or I and be like, hey, I got hot toys, or hey, I'm into this. Or it's like kind of cool that that's what we've become. And then the other thing that we've really become is like the advice guys, like, oh, where can I find this? Or I'm thinking about making this to sell to my fans. You think that's something they would, you know, we've become like those guys too, which I take pride in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, talk about that coming full circle. I mean, you guys start collect major, you got the big rubber guys, you got major bendies, you got the major stars come in, but like giving back to not just the fan base and the collectors, but the wrestlers themselves, man. I mean, that's, it's so awesome as the fans to see you guys doing that with, you know, the big rubber guys and, you know, the deals and stuff behind them. I mean, how awesome is that going to be? You know, you got people like Tommy Dreamer going, thank you for the payday.
Right.
You know? it's badass, man.
Right. So again, not something we really visualized. That was really Michael Canick is the one to thank for all that, you know, because he had the vision of that, where Matt and I definitely didn't have the vision of what that could become. And then, you know, because we didn't have that vision, we didn't see all these things that would come of it. You know, we obviously have this, you know, we both in wrestling 21 years. It's 42 years of a Rolodex of knowing everybody in the business pretty much. You know, it's very rare that we can't track somebody's information down and get a hold of somebody to talk business. Yeah. And then people like that to just be like, you know, to feel appreciated, you know, in toy form, you know, cause there's definitely, that goes a long way, you know, when you see yourself immortalized like that. But then, like, obviously there is the financial aspect of it, you know, when, you know, you see these people, like I mentioned, they're like, oh shit, thank you, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes Sabu said, Jesus Christ, that you don't know how bad I needed this. I was like, shit, you know, makes you feel good to be a part of that.
Yeah. And even giving guys figures who's never even had them before, their first figure, like, that's got to be a cool feeling too.
For sure. Yeah. I'm actually like, I was thinking about it recently. I'm excited to, like, you know, present Missy Hyatt with her big rubber guy and stuff, you know, because someone who's been around for 40 something years and doesn't have an action figure, you know, that's definitely going to be cool.
That blows my mind that she hasn't had a figure.
Especially this day and age where, you know, we're getting multiple roadblock figures. Like,
everybody's diving deep into the well.
They're willing to make these toys and take a chance. You know, that it was much more scarce back in the day.
Yeah.
So that, like, the big rubber guys, I said it before, my favorite line. I grew up on LJNs. I was at the store the first day they were released. My parents never let me get the black card, so I always had a dream of fulfilling that series. And like I told nice. Matt, I don't even care if I get them anymore, because every month I'm getting new big rubber guys. Like, right. and I'm a completist. They're so seamless in the line. Like, you put them right next to each other, you wouldn't, like, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know that these are new and those were from 40 years ago.
Right. That was the goal.
And you nailed them. Like, other Thanks. People have tried, but nobody has come close to what you guys have done.
I think that was also the kind of the talk. Like, well, this has happened before, but as true wrestling figure super fans, me, Matt, and Knick were like, well, no one's really done it, like, exact. It's kind of been, like, ish it. You know, we were like, let's do it exact. And I feel like that's going to hit people in the fields where they're going to feel like they need to be a part of this, you know.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Every time Tom gets a shipment of big rubber guys, and like, it's I'm excited for him when he's opening them. Like, he does the smell test, and like, it's I get it, you know. And it's such a cool thing to, like, just see people being happy with what they grew up on, and the nostalgia that's feels.
What collecting is, period, right? It just makes you happy. Yeah. So.
100%. Absolutely.
And I saw all the Hasbro companies, so many, and like, I wanted LJNs. And then you guys announced it, and it's just like the demolition of first, and like, amazing, just amazing. And they just happen, like, they just keep getting better. And I don't even understand how they can get any better than what you guys have done. But
so much improvement too, you know, because we're, you know, small company, growing, learning, all of us, you know, as designers, sculptors, you know, businessmen, you know, there's room to grow in every aspect. So by you know, proxy, the product's going to get better. You know,
I mean, I asked Matt this too, and now I heard on a pod last week you guys saying possibly down the line, maybe you guys can make AEW figures with the joint venture with Jazzwares. You have the Mark Starlin figure coming out. Like the dreams are endless. Like, there's so much that could possibly happen.
Even the movie stuff that we launched last year. Well, yeah, that's this, you know, to me, the goal is just any property in the form of big rubber guy, you know, we're open to it. You know, if you've got a brand, we've got figure form that we'd like to, you know, take that leap with, you know, and especially things in like 80s and 90s genres, I think is the wheelhouse, but we're open to anything, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love
the Rambo, man. Such a cool, you know, it's such a cool get. And like, it's one of those things, like, I'm not a Rambo guy, but I get the lore behind it. I get the love behind it. So seeing it happen, I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I bought the Jay and Silent Bob stuff. Like, that's more of my shtick, you know, but I was like, hell yeah, man. Like, to see you guys
more of that coming too.
I love to hear it, but seeing you guys venture in like these different ballparks. So cool. Like, cause it's the possibilities are endless for collectors, and it's gotta be so cool to be providing that to the collectors out there.
Yep. And just, you know, the creativity and, you know, that goes along with it and stuff is super fun.
Yeah.
What about seeing one of your students get in their first figures? That's got to be hit on a whole different level.
Yeah, that's kind of like one of my favorite things these days of collecting, to be honest with you. I was lucky there. I had that like flurry where like I even kind of count Alex and Johnny, the Dark Order, just because I've known them since they started and I've been friends with them for so long. And it meant a lot for me to see them, you know, made his wrestling figures, and I knew it would mean a lot to them as well. So that was incredible. And now Kristen, you know, Statlander, both Maxes, and Caster took a bit longer, you know, so that was exciting to see. And Caster was a day one, first day we opened the doors at Creator Pro signee. So that was like, especially cool for me to see that, you know, come to life. Yeah. And we're just waiting on this smart Mark Sterling. And you know, who's next, you know, I know a lot of people talking about Bear Bronson after last weekend. So you never know, you know,
dude, that would be awesome. I'm loving it, but yeah, it's so cool. I mean, to think about the length it took to get that Alex Reynolds out and everything, like moments. I mean, I was helping AEW out, Jazzwares with, you know, the fan fest and stuff like that. And that was my takeaway from it is like, it's so cool to see Superman get to see his toy and for the first time, you know, right. Like, you know, I mean, that's collecting for me now is that right. Magic.
Wrestling's, you know, like, a different beast in the toy world that people don't realize. You know, I had to explain this to TNA higher ups recently, like, you know, because the Power Towns are taking a long time and I still very confident they're going to be absolutely incredible and worthwhile.
Yeah.
But they were like, well, Josh and Jordan are gone. And I'm like, well, that's the risk you take with wrestling. You know what I mean? If you start making a Batman figure, he's not going to up and leave you.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
It's going to be what it is. He's going to be in the movie and that's going to be end of story. This is just the risk you take. I said, WWE and AEW pretty much at all times have product out with talent that have, you know, set sail. So it's just a risk you take. And I said, and also, I don't know if it's really such a terrible problem to have, you know, the only Josh Alexander figure on the market and the only Jordan Grace figure. I think that might be pretty okay for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think it's almost better. Like, you got a whole different fan base kind of getting an eyeball on it.
Three major federations in one set.
Yeah, and then they're going to go Google it and be like, I want this guy as a figure. And they're like, oh, okay, so this guy was in a different – you might open up a completely different, you know, right. universe for them, which is just the best. Yeah.
So my question is, I've always wondered this. How old were you when you started Cap?
29.
Wow. How does a 29-year-old guy decide they want to open up a wrestling school and then do it so successfully? You had a...
Very ballsy. I was just... The real thing was I wasn't... WWE was not booking me. I was under contract, and I just wouldn't know, like, when they would send me. It was so frustrating. They would, you know, sometimes be off for 3 weeks, no contact, and they'd be like, we need you at Raw, and I have to go. And I'm like, this is just... Like, for me to be a wrestler, like, I live off my preparation, and I had always... You know, I trained with Mikey Whipwreck. I got signed immediately. You know, we did Deep South, OVW. We did that run with Edge. We're like, I'm learning every night.
No, you guys don't.
You guys hear that?
I do hear that. What is that? Some mysterious voice. I hear voices in my head.
Yeah, well, maybe Randy's coming.
It's been a running theme for the last, like, 2 weeks, too.
Well, yeah, so they weren't. I was just so frustrated, you know, and I'd been training my whole career. So I was, like, driving, you know, to New Jersey to schools or, like, in the freezing cold in schools, didn't have heat. And I'm like, this sucks. And I just said it to Pat Buck, like, man, I wish I had school. And he goes, I'd open one with if you want, Long Island. I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. So it was something that I always wanted to do, but. Like you said, very ballsy for a 29-year-old to just, you know, a 10-year vet at the time to just, you know, to go for that for sure. But the other flip side thing to answer the second part of your question, what made it so much better is that I wasn't even in like the prime of my career yet. So I'm in there and I'm 40 now and I'm in there. And I'm fucking going balls to wall with these guys, you know, training and they're in there. Like we're touching each other. I'm not just on the floor pointing and telling them what to do. Like I'm physically grabbing people and wrestling them and showing them what it really is like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think you can beat that education.
No. And especially in this day, I mean, I know the wrestling school game has been shady at some points and aspects. So it's good to see credible people doing it and whatnot. Because
the wild west too. Man.
It is the wild west.
Providing people, you know, a chance to make it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it's cool. I mean, track record, don't lie. You got a lot of great people that coming out of Cap and it's awesome to see. And I know Tom got to take his first bump in the cap ring over here. So,
it's cool, been very protective of the culture over the past 11 years. You know, that's really it. You know, if you're a good person, you work hard and you love wrestling, you could be you could be the worst athlete of all time. You could be a creator for the rest of your life. That's the qualifications, you know. If you're an exceptional athlete and you work hard and have a good attitude and love wrestling, shit, sky's the limit, you know?
Yeah. No, it's the best.
I think it's your passion that shines through that. You know, I listen to the podcast every week. I've been to so many of your events, as you know, and I could just see how much you actually still love professional wrestling. And you've been in the business now for, like you said, 21 years. How do your eyes change as a watching wrestling, as you start studying and becoming a wrestler to where you are now? how you watched a product change? Are you still just the same fan when you get to watch it?
It's tough. And then honestly, that goes away. I'll always love wrestling. And if I didn't, then you guys won't see me anymore doing it. You know, I feel like it's just too bizarre and hard and difficult. If you don't love it with all your heart, like you could be doing anything else.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot safer and a lot more time at home, you know, shit like that. So that I'm just always going to be passionate about it. But when I first started training, I remember being on the apron and this guy looked at me and goes, "You fucked up, man. You're never going to be able to be a fan again. You're never going to be able to look at it the same way." And that's 100% true. But I'm, you know, from that point, you know, what I knew, you know, fucking to tie up or whatever, you know, you learn as you go, but that innocence of being a fan is gone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, you know, you fanboy in different ways. You wish the best for people, especially people you know, your friends that you care for. You know, me, fortunately, I have students that, like, you know, I root for, you know, to succeed. You just kind of just see it in those eyes.
Yeah, that's cool. It's really cool. I used to work a couple of indies here. I'm friends with Robert Anthony, like I was doing his stuff.
Even doing and that, even just helping out and working,
it's
age or whatever, you're going to just see shit in a different
light. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, I try to, as I'm watching, it's hard to, you know, suspend the belief a little bit, but you still get it. And it's like, you still, like, there's still moments, you know, and that's what I love the most is, like, you always get those, like, oh, like, it's the best.
When Matt won the IC title, I was at WrestleCon all day, and then we got like a little suite that High Spots put us up in. And like, I watched it with a bunch of the guys and Cabana and Chris Hero, and Matt won the belt. And I truly didn't know if he was winning or not. And I fucking went, ah! You know, I stood up, you know, like felt great for my friend, but also like in that moment, I felt good to be like, man, I really, you know, let myself just be a fan of this and let it play out and watch, which was amazing.
Yeah, it's the best. I remember we were at an AEW show and Tom came in for the when Punk came back, but Robert Anthony was wrestling Joey Janela in the dark match, and like I've known him for 10, 12 years, something like that. Yeah. It was like seeing that, like, I know his wrestling at the United Center was a bucket list thing for him. Like those are those moments, man. And, like, it was totally, just like, oh, this is so badass.
Human yeah. moments, right?
Yeah.
So about 10 years ago, where I work, we had actually TNA wrestling there. And they were, their locker room is right across from where I entered the casino. Mm-hmm. And I heard them discussing planning a match. And I just covered my ears like, oh my God, I can't hear this.
That was those tapings up there, right?
Yeah. I had to get out because I didn't want to hear people discussing a match and what was going to happen. That, so
if you get closer and closer, you know, the innocence is gone. And even, I think, dare I say, you know, too much shoot interviews and whatever.
Of course, podcasts, yeah.
You know, that ticks away at the innocence too, you know.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, I love, for years, we didn't know any of the backstage stuff. And then you might hear it later on. Now we're getting it right away. And it's like, no, I don't want to hear this now. I
agree with that. I think sometimes I'm okay with it, what the business has become. Like, everyone's going to say everything. But give it like a 3-month window to, like, after it happened. Like, yeah. You know, we don't need the WrestleMania doc about what happened like on that Monday, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let it breathe a little bit. I think that's like the happy medium of everything that's going on, because the business just changed. I'm not trying, you know, can't put the toothpaste back in the tube here, you know. And I'm fine with that, because I don't, you know, I want people to enjoy my performances, but I want them to invest in me as a human being, not to sit back and be like, man, Brian Myers is a real piece of shit. I'd rather be going home in the car going, man, he did a great job playing a piece of shit tonight.
Yeah.
He did a great job, you know, making me believe that he was, you know, that would be a better way to look at it.
Yeah,
absolutely. How do you feel the podcast, has that impacted your career and the fans in a way that they look at you different now?
Yeah, I think greatly. And I think it just, to like along the lines of what I just said, I think Matt and I's fans now are fans of us as human beings. They don't care if we're a good guy, bad guy, 100%. What gear we wear. Like, they're rooting for us as individuals, like, just to succeed, because they know how much we love the business. I think that's more or less our fan base now, because we've let them so in, you know, like what do people not know about us anymore? You know, we put it all out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's so true. Cause with the major pod group and listening to the podcast, we root for you guys. We're happy when you guys are happy, right, when it has nothing to do with wrestling. We're excited.
It's a great feeling. It's like, it's like the same way my high school buddies like wish the best for me, you know. It's like, you know, we have you guys and have drinks with you guys. You know, we don't act like we're above anybody, and we just have let everyone in. But I'd rather that. I'd rather you guys all root for me as an individual than, you know.
100%. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had my wife make you a baby blanket when your second baby was born. Met colors. I'm like, I have to have you do this. So
I love it.
We just get happy for you guys. And it's, again, the group on Facebook, it's just like a personal group. It's just, and everybody helps each other out in there. It's right. Another such thing, a community.
Like, there was no like real vision for that. We didn't know that was what it would become, right? It was
just
an amazing organic thing that has been, you know.
No,
it's safe to like buy, sell, and trade. We're like, considering how many people are in there, the minor incidents we've had over the years in that department, of all the transactions that go on and all the people helping each other out, finding shit, you know, it's pretty impressive.
It is very impressive. That's one of the, like, I've never bought things from secondary online. I was always afraid to. And then, like, ego was like,
very, very, very rarely did I.
Yeah.
The group. Yeah.
But ego was like, get in the podcast group, man. He's like, you'll love it. So I signed up and I was like, I fell in love, man. I met a lot of great people, including Tom here. And like, it's just like, it's been nonstop. It's the best morning check-in. Like, you wake up, I go on the page after I get my kids off to school, and I'm like, all right, you know, and everybody's just so nice to each other. It's a very, very, it's a such a safe place to just talk shit and hang out.
Toxic about, you know.
Yeah. Nothing gets in the way. I mean, even when times get crazy and stuff like that, like, it's still, it stays in its lane. You know what I mean?
Shout out Billy Peck, who does a lot of the
trolling
in there to make sure of that. Yeah.
He's amazing at what he does. He really is.
Yeah.
So we play a little game with our guests called a 10 count showdown, where we just fire 10 questions at you. There's no wrong answers. There's just your answers, your opinions, what you feel about this. So let's just play that game. You ready?
Sure.
Yeah. Opt-in.
Right.
I told you, I was like, before we were recording, I was like, did I make a bumper for that? I think I made a bumper for that.
All right, Mike, you start with number one.
Yes. Okay. Number one. This is the standard here. Hasbro or LJN?
I'm going to go Hasbro just because that's more the wheelhouse of what I grew up with. Obviously, very, you know, vivid memories of both growing up, but Hasbro's what were on the shelves that I look forward to, and that excitement, like, of, you know, actively collecting. So they're number one.
Yeah, I dig it.
What ultimate edition figure do you want Mattel to make that hasn't been done yet?
Ultimate that hasn't been done. It's just like, man, we need some more signees is what we need. You know, I feel like we've just been choking on Bretts and Hogan's and Sean's. And what's left? That's a great question. I mean, we're even getting HDM soon. So I don't know, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think. I was talking about it like APA last week when we were talking about Ultimates, because it's like, they're great. They would look great. And, you know,
pretty cool.
Get the acolytes and give them the t-shirts.
I actually kind of don't. Ultimates aren't my favorites, because Mattel already, to me, kind of skimps out on, like, Broski talks about it a lot, the meatiness of these dudes, and then the Ultimates always tend to get shortchanged on, like, you know, pecs and quads, and it's not,
I get that,
enough, you know, so
yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't flow, man.
Maybe some kind of, like, brothered out ECW Terry Funk with the striped tights in an Ultimate.
I would love. ECW Terry Funk is not, you know, I think we could use a little bit more. We always could use more Terry Funks, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
and more ECW figures as well.
Damn right.
You know, what they have to draw from is not a lot, you know?
Yeah.
We got so many Sandmans this year, and we got a million RVDs. And
thankfully.
Find Sabu's, you know, legacy. You know, that'd be
No, I would love to see that. I mean, even Mikey Whipwreck, too. Like, you know, talk about colorful characters. There's so many ECW talents that are just off the table, you know. All right. Attitude Era or Ruthless Aggression Era?
Man, that's tough. Because I think, as a fan, Attitude Era obviously was more popular and cool. But as a, like, wrestler, I think Ruthless Aggression stuff is better wrestling. if that makes sense.
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Bell to bell, you're getting way better matches.
Yeah, and everything was a blow-up spot in the attitude era.
Everything was punching.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
the show wasn't ending in chaos, and it wasn't really ending.
It was fine, but it's like a moment in time. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
If you had to tell fans to go and watch one match of yours, what would it be?
Oh, fun question, man. I was really proud to main event Bound for Glory. You know, it's the TNA's biggest pay per view of the year last year. Wound up being Chris Bay's like pretty much last match. Took a lot of spectacular bumps. It was a spectacle. You know, Jeff painted the ladders and chairs and tables for weeks leading up to that. You know, like literally like homework. And obviously the Hardys are just they've changed TNA in such a positive way and just, you know, made our houses incredible and just not they're just great dudes and fun to be around, and their legacy, you know, speaks for itself. So that's been just incredible. So to be out there with them in the main event, the biggest show of the year, with Eddie, who's my best friend, my favorite tag partner I've ever had, you know, so there's a lot of things about it that will be special to me.
It's cool.
That's awesome.
I dig it. All right. If you could have any wrestler, past or present, as a guest on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, who would you choose?
It's Vince. Vince has always been my number
my
one.
My God. That would be so good.
I've never talked about this on the show, but I've definitely talked about this with Broski. Like, that's my number one. I want to ask him about the original LJN deal and if he thought, what was his original thoughts about toys, period. And getting a hold of all this, you know, and because that changed the business, right?
Yeah.
You know, we know Remco's might have preceded them by like a couple weeks. So I just would have loved to know, you know, what the mindset was and the history of it. Right.
Vince would be such a good get.
Oh, why he put that himself in the line. Yeah.
I'd
just get them all.
I wish I could remember when I got my Remcos compared to when I got my LJNs, because there was a little store in Staten Island called Smiling Sunnies that was just like ringside. They had everything before Toys R Us. So I got all my LJNs there. The day they came out, I was at a store getting the first set of LJNs. So I wish I remembered when I got the Remcos.
If it was there's that timeline of that the deal got sniped, right? So they were supposed to be made by them. So I'm not sure.
It's crazy.
It's very tight though. It's all 84 bleeding into 85. So
yeah, steel cage match or a ladder match?
Ladder match all day.
Wow, ooh, really?
More, I like it. More room for creativity. Steel cage matches look cool, but they never. I don't know if they really ever kind of.
It must be the nostalgia thing growing up in the 80s.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't have ladder matches yet. Cool. So I was always excited.
And I also feel like cage match, you got to get blood.
Yeah.
Really make it epic, you know? So.
And that was my thing. I as a kid, steel cage match, we're getting blood.
Right.
Then that kind of went away. And I was like, what's the purpose of a steel cage match if we're not getting blood?
I mean, so, really, true. You keep outside interference out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In theory.
That's right. I almost saw how to put the top on there.
Got the which still didn't keep people out, which was wild. Yeah. All right. Soft goods, entrance gear, or molded plastic?
I'm really not a fan of soft goods. They have to be like exceptional for me to be, you know, like a Powertown Broski robe. I go, okay, I get it. But mostly, you know, not great. I hate bleeding onto my figures.
Yes.
That's a big pet peeve of mine. So that right away is reason for me to be like, yeah.
Feel like you're getting better with it.
At this point, shirts are the only things that I really would accept as soft goods. You know, that's necessary. Yeah. Oh, soft goods like jeans or on a figure or something. That is just bleh.
You don't like the shorts on Stone Cold?
dude, I don't know. I mean, that's like a doll to me. That's too much soft goods. I don't know.
It's very Barbie-esque.
I also pre-ordered that from Walmart, so I don't know if I'll ever see it. But
yeah, Godspeed. I have another one if you need one.
What is the most ridiculous thing you've ever done to get a figure?
Man, I don't know. I mean, the legendary Matt lying to me to have his dad go get, that's what he did. I was the victim in all that whole story.
That was actually his answer when he was on.
I mean, he faked that he was upset too, that they were gone. So like he really committed to the lie. I don't know. I mean, that dude, Henry Sugars, who's kind of disappeared in the group, he was like, he went out of the way in the heart of COVID to get New Jack to sign that no news figure for me. When I purposely told him not to mention that it was different because I didn't want him to want it or like, you know. And he drove pretty far, like in the Carolinas to meet up with him for lunch and get it signed. And then New Jack wound up passing like only like a month or two after that. So
that's crazy.
Super grateful about all that whole timing and everything and the journey that he went on like for me.
Yeah. So
that was a lot. And then honestly, that would be the missing piece to my collection, like that I don't think I'd ever get, you know?
Yeah.
If I didn't
have that's crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, how many New Jack figures signed are out there? You know what I mean? Like that's
I mean, I have all four, but that no one even has this New Jack no news figure mint on card like I do. Like, so how would, you know?
Yeah, it's insane, impossible. Man.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay, you got a one-way ticket to any toy aisle in history. What year are you landing in and what are you stocking up on?
Probably like 91 Toys R Us, just because it will be the biggest aisle. I loved KB as a kid, and I probably went there more than Toys R Us because we wound up getting one in my town even, but just for the epicness of how big that aisle could feel sometimes and when it's like fully stocked.
Yeah.
I don't know if kids will ever get to know that feeling these days because it's just really, you know, no such thing.
No, it's crazy.
Eggs, man, just every genre just had so much. Like,
I mean, wrestling had its own aisle, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane. It's hard to explain to people, too. Like, my kids, I've taken them to Toys R Us before they closed out and everything, but, I mean, they were babies at the time, so it's like, I got the memory.
Right.
So that's all that matters to me, right? But it was, like, they did, like, the little pop-up one here, and it was cool to take the kids, too, but it's like, it's all main event figures. What are we doing, guy?
Yeah. I mean, even as an adult going to Toys R Us, I would get excited going to the aisle. Like, you'd start doing that walk where you go a little faster as you get
even
closer.
Even in Canada, where they're still there, and they're not the same, but the vibe is there.
Yeah.
Just to see it, like, in the car, it's like, you get that jolt. Yeah.
Oh, I guess that.
It's not the same. You're walking into a Walmart or a Target, and you just hope they have something to see. It's and a lot of times, it's a strikeout. So
no.
All right.
Always by the bait.
Last question. Own every official San Francisco Toy Maker ECW figure mint on card or get a brand new line with full articulation and accessories.
No, I'm going sentimental with mine and keeping them. I love 6-inch articulated modern wrestling figures, but back to bring this whole conversation full circle, I think the sentimental attachment to things when you're younger is irreplaceable, right? You know, that, I tell the story all the time. Like when the retros came out, I was like, oh my God. And Gallo's kid was the biggest wrestling figure fan. And I was like, does he love the retros? He's like, no, he thinks there's these fat little squatty figures. They mean nothing to him. And I'm just like, oh, you're right. Because all he knows is elites and all this awesome shit. Like what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would he care about these figures that don't compare to his figures? But it's because he didn't grow up on it, you know, like we did. And we know.
Yeah, it's hard to go back in time, exactly. Right? Once you've adjusted to something crazy, like 42 points of articulation, a bone cruncher just doesn't have the same vibe as as you think it would.
It's fun. It's just, you know, you know it's not the superior.
100%.
That's why I feel like, and again, it's the whole nostalgia thing, but I swear LJNs are the most playable wrestling figures because they're so big.
That's your fucking childhood imagination speaking.
The hell he's going to die on, but it's okay.
I got to say, Broski, when we are designing him, Broski is always like, well, can he do this move? I'm like, who? Broski, no one's playing with a big rubber guy. Literally no one. I appreciate you thinking like that.
Yeah,
it's cool that that's still where his brain goes, but
it's part of the love for it all, though, you know. Right. Like if you're not thinking in those terms, then Tom's not going to be a happy customer because he is playing with so that it's the thing. It's like you see all these other companies like Zombie and Shell and all this stuff like making toys. It's great to see, but nobody has like the passion and the heart behind you guys. You guys are killing it in a completely different ball game, and it's so awesome to see, man. Because like there's the things like the big rubber guys are Tom's shtick. He loves them. Like I love seeing all the characters you guys are doing, all this stuff. It's amazing to see the LJN line like kind of continuing on for future generations, for the old collectors and everything. Like I got a maybe a handful of Big Rubber guys, but they're fantastic. Quality's off the charts. Awesome. Love the Ric Flair and the Gino. They're just so awesome good team, shit out there.
TTD, Ryan Beatty, these guys are just like ridiculously talented. You know, Kinnick does a lot of freaking leg work. He probably does the hardest work of anybody, you know, doing all the things he does behind the scenes to make it work. So
been
a wild ride.
Every time I get a new one, it's my new favorite because, like I said, I just got the Legion of Doom. Yeah. Holy smokes. You talk about chucking a figure at somebody. If you chuck that at somebody with the shoulder pads on, it's going to be blood. Those things are sharp, but they're amazing. They really are.
The best text message to wake up to is, Tom, dude, my house stinks like Big Rubber guys, and I've never been happier.
Pretty awesome. I have them on my hook right now, and I'm like waiting for my wife to say something. I just like, they look so good the way they're posed there, and I'm like, maybe she wants
the ability, man. Especially those new big bad ones, like they're meant to be posed like in front of each other. Man, it just came
they
out.
Look great,
freaking awesome! Man.
Yeah, it's so cool, man.
We got a ton of stuff today that you know we have to sift through. When they send us prototypes, they go straight to TDD, and he sent you know a ton of photos. You know, Rick Martel and Missy and Gary Van Eric, Brody. You know, so it's cool to be to watch the process as it goes. You know, be a part.
Do you have a whole new respect for the toy makers who do this now?
Oh yeah, and like. I guess that's another reason. Like people are like, Power Town, where's my figures? Whatever. I'm like, man, this shit is not easy, guys. This shit is expensive, not easy. You know, these unforeseen mistakes, you know, are going to come at you, and you're just putting out fires, and you know.
Like you guys do it right because you're so transparent the whole way.
I think,
like,
I mean, dude, trust me, we still get the angry emails from you know, not everyone listens to the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, right?
Yeah.
So we still get the crazy emails and the angry bullshit and whatever. That's just the way it's going to go. You know, not everyone understands. If you listen to our show, I'm sure, like you said, you'll have a little more understanding of what's going on, what goes into this. I mean, so even like the major stars, like we're almost coming up on a year on these where we're just like, they're not, the ones we just got, we think are it, but like, they just weren't up to our standards. And we're like, we can't come out of the gate with this new line and then not be impressive for people because we'll be dead in the water. Like, what's the point of that? And then we've spent a lot of money and time, and we think we finally got it. So,
you know, looking forward to the major stars. They look awesome. I love the concept. I'm a sucker for accessories and then little figures. So it's like it's gonna be awesome, you know.
And then you show off Blues Brothers, and I'm like, hell yeah! Like that's right in my wheelhouse. And I feel like the major stars, just from what I've seen in the pictures, feel like what Funko should have been. Like,
think Funkos are not detailed enough, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. They lack the vibe. Like, you know?
I feel like getting Big Rubber guys and major stars, I feel like one day I'll walk into a Target and see them in the back aisle where they have all the collectibles.
Which is obviously the ultimate goal for any of these little toy companies, you know?
Yeah. No, it'd be awesome addition to the NECA section.
Yeah, I think toy section and Target and Walmart, you know, any of the electronics, that would be the ultimate goal for sure.
It would be awesome, man. Right.
And I love how you guys are starting to mix in modern day characters, the Hardys. You got Ethan Page. I love that figure. Yeah. We're getting a Shotzi now.
Right.
I love the mix, and I hopefully we see that a little more because eventually we're going
to... You have to. That's just, you know, the...
We're going to run out of holes to fill in eventually.
You know,
we're running out of anchors, if you will.
You know? 100%.
Get too excited about Lanny Poffo, you know.
Our good listener Don the Bomb Smith has been clamoring for a Lanny Poffo figure from any line possible for the last 5 years, and like you guys put the announcement out, he disappeared for like 2 days. We thought he blew up from the news.
Over the
as
genius.
Soon as you guys started Big Rubber Guys, he's like, I need a Lanny Poffo. So his dream came true when you made a genius.
Yeah.
Which, again, I can't wait to get that.
It's funny. You never know, you know, what's going to hit sometimes. It's tough. You know, like we thought, like, oh, Brooklyn Brawler, home run. Brooklyn Brawler did not perform that great, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an exceptional figure, but I guess.
Popped for that. I mean, I popped for everyone, but like, I never imagined a Brooklyn Brawler. I was like, yes. Right.
So. You just never know.
No, those niche characters, they're the little holes that we feel like are never going to be filled in our collections. Like, those are the important pieces, you know?
And it's just, you know, a matter of like, you know, you want to make thousands of something. You're making hundreds. You're like, this one's kind of.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. I try to tell people a lot, especially in the collecting universe, is like, we're a much smaller bubble than we think we are, you know, like even with the, I remember people were like, oh, they're inflating the numbers on the AEW figures. And I was like, are they though? Because I don't know if there's really 3,000 people that are actively looking for so-and-so figure, you know, right. It's like, it's, I guess we gotta humble ourselves.
But you throw that sticker on it and then everybody thinks it's rare. So we all want it.
They go bonkers.
Think about like how minimal the wrestling properties are that for Mattel and Jazzwares, like Mattel monster licenses that they have under their umbrella, you know, Barbie, Hot Wheels, all this stuff, Jazzwares, Pokemon, Squishmallow, which is like the number one toy in the world. You know? So sometimes the wrestling stuff is going to trickle to the wayside. Like it's just not as important.
No, absolutely. It's still real.
I wasn't saying that. Yeah.
So where would you like to see Collector Major go? Is there any direction, new type of toy you'd want to see them do in the future?
For me, there's zero development on this. I personally would like to make ECW original San Francisco Toy Maker, you know, off. Easter egg people the same way that you just kind of said what the big rubber guys are. You know, I would love to make Doring and Roadkill and Mikey Whipwreck.
It'd be awesome.
That down the line would be super fun for me, and I'm pretty confident in TTD that's something that he could kind of visualize, and get done. But it's down the line. We have way too much going on. We're literally like trying to acquire like huge properties and licenses, not really time for my ECW passion project.
would Spike Dudley be the first little rubber guy? Would that be the the Terminator? <Okay.
laughs> I'm excited. I love it all.
We need Spike Dudley.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Spike got cheated in the original one. Spike, Mikey, Doring, and Roadkill, I think, were ones that could have
needed
in there.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Need more ECW figures. Absolutely. We need that stage. Let's give us that entrance ramp and a nice scale toy somewhere. Like somebody's got to make that. Like that wouldn't be bad for like a Mattel Creations.
Yeah, they need like a big name for it to come with, though.
Yeah. It's not going to be New Jack. It could be. You never know. He's in the game.
That gives me a little hope.
I'm curiosity. Is going to kill me on that one. I'm super excited. I hope they do the new Jack in the game, right? And I hope it does lead to a merchandising contract, man.
It's a step in the right direction for sure.
It is. I think having Sandman being put out is a good step in the right direction. Like they see that it sells a little bit. So there's like, okay.
Sandman came with like barbed wire and like crazy beer cans at Mass Retail. I was like, this is all pretty sweet.
This is badass. Yeah.
I guess Vince isn't there anymore, so we can't stop it. They're a little more open with the new reign in WWE, I guess.
The PG thing is kind of, but it's still a kid's toy. That didn't even really change in the Attitude Era when shit was crazy. So
yeah,
that's true.
We were still getting wild stuff. Yeah.
Man, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it so much. Why don't you plug the podcast, everybody, where to follow you if they're not already?
Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. TNA Wrestling on Access Plus and TNA, Access TV and TNA Plus. Calhoun's, guys.
Ooh, the big I'm coming.
Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, Raven, in-house, a photo op in front of the original, not just something we're making, the real ECW brick wall. Comes with your ticket. So, I mean, that's about as cool as it gets.
It doesn't get much cooler than that, honestly.
I still have to check to see if the Red Sox are home that weekend because I've never been to Fenway.
I'm mixing up my dates, but I looked into this, but I feel like maybe they are actually because I can't go because I'm taking the kids to a concert the night before. But
I need to hit Fenway up. Big baseball fan, but I'm a Yankee fan. And you have our Soto, who's finally heating up for you guys.
I knew it was. It's bound to happen, guys.
Come on. Like, new contract, that you know what it's going to be like the first couple of months.
Yeah.
So. He's Soto. He didn't lose his talent overnight. Switch him
up. I'm dead in the water. I'm a Cubs fan. We're just leaving it.
Cubs are doing great.
Are they?
Yeah, good. They're having a nice
I'm glad
week.
To hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I got Swanson on my fantasy team, so I'm not complaining.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We traded.
I have him, too.
It was amazing, yeah.
I have him in my home run league. I never expected him to hit so many home runs.
Yeah, right.
So there you go.
Thank you again, Brian. Again,
no problem, guys. Thank you, guys, for spreading the good word of the community and, fig talk.
Hey, listen, again, If it's not for you guys, we're not here. We're not friends, and we have developed a very strong friendship over the years. Cool. So
yeah, we tolerate each other. No.
We send each other boxes of figures all the time and stuff.
All the time, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's the best, man. We appreciate you guys so much.
We really do. So thank you again, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, for Mike, for Brian, for Tom, Fig Guys out.
Thanks for watching, Fig Guys. Please like, follow, subscribe, and until next time.